Thank you very much. You can please be seated. And my name is Heishimu, and I want to bring you the gospel of God's grace. If you open, please, into the book of Isaiah in chapter number 5. Thank you, Brother and Dr. Joel, your kind words and your honest words. It is true, if we were handing out rice, the place would be full. And that is the state of Christianity in northern Nigeria. And then, Brother Wade, thank you also, sir, for hosting us and your kindness and hospitality. I'd like to start our scripture reading in the book of Isaiah in chapter 5 and verse number 18. I'll read down to verse number 24. And I will lead us in prayer. I trust my accent is okay here. I'm always, if you're able to understand my tongue well, well, you're getting there. Please try to listen carefully. If you speak English, I speak English, oh. So you just have to tune in. And so he says, "Woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of vanity." I'm in the New King James Version. "And sin as if with a cart rope. They say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come, that we may know it. Woe to those who call evil good, and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe to men mighty at drinking wine. Woe to men valiant for mixing intoxicating drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away justice from the righteous man. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble and flames consume the chaff, so their root will be as rottenness, and their blossom will ascend like dust. Because they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel." Let's pray together, please. Our God, our Father, as we hear these words, cause them to come with understanding. Speak to our hearts, our Father, by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bring him to light in these scriptures and cause us to be rebuked in light of your counsel, in the word of God as it truly is. Speak by your Holy Spirit. Speak the gospel. Lord Jesus Christ, speak and let your Son be glorified for his name's sake. Amen. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 5, and verse number 18, we want to start here. And to work down at least unto verse number 24. And he starts by saying, it's a woe is unto those who draw iniquity. And the title of this message is Woe to Those. And he is describing here the people upon whom he has this woe in order to bring us unto repentance and to condemn the wicked. And so, woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin as if with a cart rope. They're carrying a lot of it. And here's what they say. Let him, they're talking unto the Lord of hosts, the Lord God Almighty, the disposer of men's souls, the man of war. Let him make speed and hasten his work that we may see it. And we have to remember that our God is a mighty man of war. After he brought the people out of the Red Sea, that's what they sang of him. And they so quickly forgot his valiancy and his might in the battle. And he so quickly turned to become their enemy. And he destroyed them after bringing them through the Red Sea because they would not listen and they would not hearken unto his voice. And here they say, let him make speed and hasten his work. They are calling his bluff, so to speak. They are calling God a gambler with no hand. That we may see it, and let his counsel, this counsel of the Holy One of Israel, draw near and come. All this judgment he's talking about. It's vain. All of these warnings about the church house being out of order, it's only talk. God is going to do nothing. That's what they're saying. Let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come that we may know it. I don't know if you're familiar with the game poker. I used to play a lot of poker in the West, a very popular game, an excellent game. And the thing about this game is that you can bluff. If you don't have anything in your hand, in your cards, is you can pretend that you do by pushing your chips into the middle and you act like a big bully. And then the rest of the table is scared because they don't know as to what you have. But every once in a while, a person will call your bluff. And they will even say, I call your bluff and push in their chips and say, I don't believe that you have anything. And they'll say, show me your cards. But God Almighty is not bluffing. His hand is full of aces. It's a royal flush. It's the highest hand a human being can have in the game of poker is a royal flush. It cannot be beaten. But God's hand is stronger than all. He is the Almighty that's going to bring judgment and punishment. He is not playing. He's not playing any games as to with his church. He's not bluffing. As when he said that sin must be punished, as to was he lying? He proved it on the cross when he sent his own son to die. He proved by that very act that God must punish all sin and that he will not tolerate it for any reason at all. And yet men still challenge him instead of trusting in Christ Jesus. He told Adam, you sin, you die, and the wages of sin is death. He told us to repent or perish. and to change our ways or to be destroyed. And what men say is, I don't believe you. And you know as to how they say it? It's not necessarily with their mouth, it's their unrepentant lives. When a man does not live in repentance, he is challenging the Almighty God. He is telling him, I spit in your face, and I do not think that you will do what you have promised in my destruction, and I will challenge you unto your face by living a life that is against you in sin. I will live how I want to. I will live my way. I will keep my own commandments. I'll sing how I please. I will do as I please. I'll live as I please. I'll go as to where I please. I will worship how I please. And what you say in the Bible is just your opinion. That's very common in the West, where we are really anti-God, and we have challenged him publicly and unto his face. But it's very common here too in religious Nigeria. But he calls, if our religion is not the truth of the gospel, it'll burn us in hell. I was reading a man last night who said that it's not fair for God to decide who'd be saved. As if man could decide better. As if he, in his total depravity, has a right to speak against the God in heaven who has declared, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated. From the foundation of the world, I have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and whom I will I harden. As if there is injustice with God, and the Almighty God is unfair because a sinful man could decide better what's for himself. The Bible says that we are totally dead in trespasses and sins. We are depraved, and without mercy, no one of us would choose God Almighty himself. We would choose sin and drink up iniquity like water. That's even what the Bible says about Job in the book of Job, chapter number 34. Who are you to complain against God when you dwell amongst men who drink iniquity like water? If I was in the water business in Nigeria, on the way here, we saw a huge plant, and I'm thinking, everybody needs water. but wow, that's how we drink iniquity by nature. Every day we thirst after it, and we long for it, and there's no changing us except God himself. And men have the audacity to challenge God when they should say, Lord, show me mercy. Instead, what they say is, I don't believe you. Salvation is this way. It's up to man, and God has nothing to do with it. That's works religion. You hearing me? It is works religion unto say that God has done his part, and now it's up to you. It is works religion to say that God has done all that he can do, and now it's up to you. That makes salvation unto be of man instead of the Lord, and the glory goes unto man himself. And the decision is not made by God. He's helpless here in a corner with his hands tied behind his back. But tied by who? Of the glorious
free will of man? Impossible. Man's will is corrupted and depraved. In the Garden of Eden, when we sinned, he cursed us. That's why Nigeria is perishing. And the USA. That's why the wrath of God is coming against the ungodly. Do you think, sir, that sin is something small? Cosmic treason? But that's an understatement. It burns the fires of hell. Man will go to hell for all of eternity because sin is so dreadful in the sight of God. He must punish it everlastingly. And when he told Adam, you eat, you die, he died. He's dead. He's born wicked. He grieves God just by his being and his existence. He's a sinner. He's corruption, and there's no good in him at all. Salvation is by the mercy of God. It's not by the will of man. It is not of him that wills or him that runs. It's of God that shows mercy. Is half the salvation that you are a part of, is that the gospel that's preached here? There's no other gospel in the sight of God. And everything else is works religion. And it will be destroyed. And it doesn't matter if you put the work at the beginning, the middle, the end. Anywhere you put works, it's not of grace. And anywhere it's not of grace, it's not of God. It's not the gospel that gives him glory. So I ask us to repent of all of the work and all of the worth of man. As a pastor I'm in Calabar, I like that place. I'll be going back. It's the end of August, and he asked me to do the theme of the conference. He wants to, it's the handbills he wants formed, and
it's repentance. I don't know the theme of the text in the book of Isaiah I'll be in after I get there, but the book of Isaiah itself is offering a message of repentance. He is coming back unto the sinner, and he's saying, turn, burn. Is he saying, cleanse your hands and be filthy no more? And even though your sins are as scarlet, even though your rebellion is long and strong, it'll be washed in the cleansing blood, and you will be righteous. You will be white as snow. And you can be cleansed, and you can repent, and you can turn, and you can change. And the Lord God, he will receive you, and he will take you from two of a city and from one of a family, and he'll make you his people, and he'll shower upon you his blessings. But rebellion it will not stand. And these people, the Israelites, were pulling their cart of sin. And as they pulled their cart of sin, they're challenging God. Oh yeah, you're going to punish? Oh, we'll see about that. I'm living large here in Nigeria. I might go churches, and it's the singing and dancing. It's all singing and dancing, but there's no repentance. It's the singing and dancing. I don't mind if it's unto the Lord. If I'm in the church house and we dancing and we throwing out and we laughing and smiling, I'm not praising God. I'm praising myself. I'm glory of man, and the strength of man, and the wealth of man, and the pride of man, and the joy of man. It's ungospel. But to sing and dance and not praise God with repentance and a clean new nature and a harmonizing
beating, without bowing, just praising my way into heaven. In the lake of fire, it shall be full of people who praise God in the church house. All the while, they had a whole heart of sand, and they challenged me up to his face. Stuck their chest. Who are you to challenge me? Who are you to tell me what to do? Who are you to tell me to repent? This is how I practice religion. This is how we've always done it. This is our house. This is that. This is that. This is how we do it. No, sir. I don't care if it's Equa, if it's Anglican, if it's Haitian move. Everywhere we go, we do Bible. The only authority in the house of God is Bible. It's not Equa. That will bring nobody into heaven, not even one person, is going to meet God and say, I was Equa. They're going to meet him in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, but they're not going to meet him at all. Not in peace. Is that right? Oh, what are you hoping? As to what is your confidence? I'm Equa. I'm not a Muslim. I'm Equa. I'm not a Pentecostal. I'm Equa. I'm not Word of Faith. Or are you in Christ Jesus? In Christ is by repentance and faith. There's no other way, no other hope of the salvation of mankind. It's a matter of the heart. The heart by faith that believes God and receives his commandments and keeps them by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, that's constantly in repentance and being renewed by his holy word to live a life that's for the salvation of other people. Everybody in existence has the exact same mission in life, to save people, to receive the gospel of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and save others, live to save others. That's what all of our life has always been about. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's not just a little Lord. Or some little guy trying to be Lord. He's Lord over all by God's appointment. And every knee shall bow. It's on us, sir, to bow. And to yield your heart unto him and say, take over. Wash me by your blood and master me. I'm your slave. I'm your servant. Even if you send me to hell, I bow before your majesty and your grandeur. And you're having mercy upon whom you please. I bow. Now have mercy on me. Nobody gets salvation. Nobody ever bows until they bow. No matter what happens unto me, you're the Lord. And then he's got mercy. And his command unto every person is who believes the blessed gospel is you shall live forever. I have mercy upon you. I'll give you grace to follow me. I'll give you grace to obey. And my mastery over you will be sweet grace. It'll be a reign of grace. It'll be a triumph of grace. The sinner will be changed by grace alone and transformed with power to live according unto the will of God. Is that right so far? Am I tuning in to you? Am I telling the truth so far? This is a message of Christ Jesus. So help my soul. And then
If you look, please, in verse number 21. I've said most of the message, but let's get to particular points. Verse 21 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet." They changed the gospel. They transformed the word of God to mean what suits them. And sweet or bitter, they changed the blessed truth of God. Verse 21, "Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." The Apostle Paul, he picks up these words in 1 Corinthians 1, and he adds a little bit unto them, and he says in verse 19, "It is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. As to where is the wise, as to where is the scribe, where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its own wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching, of the message preached, and to save those who believe. And the Jews require a sign, the Greeks, they seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness." We don't change our message. "But to those who are called," that is really saved by God, "both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God," that's what men call foolishness, "is wiser than men. And the weakness of God," what men just say, "I can't save," is actually stronger than men, because God uses it. And the people that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight despise the preaching of Christ and Him crucified. What they say is that some other message of salvation, it must be needed. And I hear this all the time. I don't know as to who here is a preacher. I know one man is a preacher. I don't know anybody else. But for us two, at least, it's the things I hear all the time from preachers as we travel about it. "Sir, that's the true gospel, but my people." "That's the true gospel, but you don't know Africa. You don't know Nigeria. That's the true gospel, but the people want to hear about miracles and they want to hear about signs and wonders. And they really want you to promise us money. And they really want you to stand up and really tell them that it shall be well and you will not suffer and you will not die. Today is your day, your week." And I'm sitting here thinking, how many days can you tell people that it's their day, and they're getting poorer and poorer every day, and they still say amen and hallelujah? How many days can we do this and get away with it? The preaching of the cross is what saves sinners. That means that the message of salvation is outside of you. It is not what we have done at all.
It's what God did in Christ Jesus when he made him unto be sin on behalf of his people. He was made a mark as to where God shot his arrow. And he was made that mark because our sins were placed upon him. As your pastor and I were talking about it either last night or this morning, just very briefly, that one word, imputation. Imputation. Now, who knows it? Imputation. It's a Bible word in the book of Romans. I know you know it, but there must be a lot of preaching for it. You ought to know it by now. But imputation is when God charged him for our sins. And standing in the sight of God, he was made guilty and he was punished. And that's why he died. He did not die merely as an example of how angry God is with sin. He died for the exact sins of the exact number of people God Almighty had chosen to save. Just like Israel, at the Day of Atonement, and the high priest would come, and he put his hands and he would confess. He put his hands on the head of the goat, and he would confess upon that goat all the sins of the people of Israel. And the first goat was slain. That's Christ dying for our sins. And the second goat, the scapegoat, is the one that got to go free because they can't picture the resurrection of the dead by bringing up a live goat from the dead, and so they had to have two goats to really show what Christ has done. He was put to death for our offenses, and he was raised again for our justification, meaning he's proof in the resurrection that our sins have been taken away because they were fully punished by Almighty God, and he said, "It's finished." He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He was made a mark for the Father's arrows. Read the book of Psalms and see his suffering, just the sufferings of Jesus Christ. It's not how to make money. That's not the message of the psalm. It's not the message of the Bible. The message of the Word of God is how to be redeemed from the curse of your sin and made righteous in the sight of God by imputation. The person that believes is imputed with righteousness. I stand no longer guilty in the sight of God. Not by works of righteousness that you've done.
Not by preaching. That's not good enough. Not by being a missionary. That's not good enough.
If I have works, but I don't have faith in Christ, it's all in vain. It's as if I gave my body to be burned, but I didn't have love. And the only reason I can have love towards God is because his first love me. And he washed away my sin. He washed away my guilt in the sight of God. And I'm free. That's called being forgiven. And the wise man says, I'm going to challenge that. I don't believe that works. I believe if you want to build the church, you've got to preach tight. And you need a whip on the people's back. And you got to promise them if they pay their tithe that the house is going to be blessed and that the children won't get sick. And if you hold out this gospel of free grace to people, death walk here. Is that true?
I guarantee you,
it was not tithing that brought me here to Africa. It was the gift, it was the free grace of God. It was the gift of eternal life, the gift of salvation. It was God having mercy upon us. If you've ever been loved by somebody, maybe your wife, she did on him. And she found out about him. And she could have left you and embarrassed you and church. And she came with some tears in her eyes and said, "Hey, if you do love me, nothing ever made you love her more. But when God forgives, He gives a new heart that makes you love God. Keep the cross in front of you. They'll do anything God says. They will die for Him willingly. That's what our ancestors heard of Europe. On the Reformers, the Great Reformation, they heard that they were free. That's what made men endure the stake and the watch as their wives slid open. It isn't only of the Muslims who were cruel. That was, it's in human nature. And if I was a Muslim, I'd be a fanatic. I hope I would. So I completely understand. That's why they need to hear the gospel. Or they'll die just like anybody else on planet Earth will perish in their sin. And who tells me that the gospel isn't able to save us? Iman or Allah. That's why the devil is persecuting with violence. He knows that if they hear the message, they'll be set free. And it may be an opportunity in these other countries like in Niger, if they won't actually kill you, I'm told, and will sit and hear the gospel, it might be an opportunity to bypass these Muslims here and to go up there as some missionaries and preach the gospel of God's grace. It may be the open door that God has given through their poverty up there. Who knows? It's worth a shot. The gospel is the power of God. And here's the thing about
His gospel and this message of the cross.
It needs no help from any man, and it will not take. That's why Paul says that when I came preaching, I was in fear and trembling, that your faith would not stand. I didn't come with enticing words of man's wisdom. I didn't do anything to make myself special or to be as a big man in your sight. I wasn't trying to be an orator. I wasn't interested in preaching and, "Oh, pastor, that's quite a sermon." I'm only interested in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to manifest His character, and I want to preach His gospel doctrine. I want you to see Jesus Christ. That's when the Spirit works. I want you to leave your eyes fixed upon Jesus Christ, and your life will change, and you will rightly worship God. That's the power of the cross. It doesn't need man's help, and it won't take it. Even the preaching is entirely of the Holy Spirit. And if a man has a carnal mind, he can't receive it, sir. But as many as are called by God, to them is the power of God. Just because God calls them, it's not because of them, you, me, or the preacher. It's because of God. He saves who He will through the gospel. And that's the only way He's ever saving anybody. And it's the only way that He's encouraging anybody. It's the gospel. It's the only way that He works in us by the Holy Spirit. It's through the gospel. If I can lift it up, set that brazen serpent upon the pole, and whoever looks unto it, he shall live. The power of God is in the cross. That's where a man sees, I'm not condemned. And that's where the Spirit works in power to love. It's the wisdom of God. So powerful, so strong. It'll make a man strong. It'll make him full of courage. And Pastor, that's the problem. Men hear it, but they haven't seen its power yet. But when they do, they'll stop talking about it, but the people. And they'll stand up and preach for God. I want to do that. Have a holy, humble life and live for the glory of God. Preach for God's glory. And for no man. Not fearing man, not catering unto man. Preaching the gospel of the cross. And telling them, it's the way it's hard. It's the way it's hard. If you're a Muslim convert, it just might cost you your life. This sister here is a Muslim convert. I'm
going to have to speed up.
But up in Maiduguri, it's a young man, fall, as his sister was his mother. And so we told him, no, it isn't true. It's a woman with no, if she had any children. But he insisted. And so we invited him unto the church building. He risked his life as to get there and sneak in the back. And while I'm preaching in English, this other man is translating unto him in his own tongue. What is the message? It's going to cost you your life, quite likely. You're gonna have to flee, and you have to do it. You have to bow to Jesus Christ or die in your sins. It's not a message of it's all gonna be easy now. You'll have eternal life. And that's the message to all of us. It will cost you everything, dear sister. He's not holding back, he's God. But the sufferings and the trial are going to be born with the Lord of glory on your side. That's good enough. And he'll bring you into paradise when it's over. Our life means nothing. It's worth being laid down for the gospel. I ought to die for Jesus Christ. He died for me. That's not too big a sacrifice. My life is not my own. They love not their lives even unto the death. They counted the cost, except you forsake everything. You can't be my disciple. We need to tell the truth. It'll make people saved. They'll count the cost, they'll pay the price for our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that right? That's what he said. That's his message. But the message now is just, if you walk up here, you take the preacher's hand, you say, I gave my life unto Jesus, have never spoken to God. Have never gotten permission from God the Holy Spirit to say those words. You just interacted with the pastor, and all he's saying is, if you come to Jesus, your life will get better. And you won't get sick, and you'll be happy. Would you be in the church each and every Sunday doing the dancing and it'll all be well and it'll be money, 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 money. As long as you get the money, money, money. That's a false prophet. And you really know when you see him all. The gospel is still the gospel. The key is not.
And we need to be bold with our gospel. I'm so sick and tired of men saying, well, you know, that's just what they do. It isn't right. But they're over here in a corner. And they're just gonna whisper. No, you need to come tell them. In love. You need to grab them by the ankles.
in love and say, brother, sister, you're going to hell. You don't believe the truth. And just because you saved the name of Jesus, it's blasphemy what you're doing. That's love. No, that's just how they do it. Yeah, and politics are orange. But in the gospel, no, we're not. It's divided by the Bible.
I'm going to have to keep going. It's the line of scripture that tells me and you as to who's in and who's out. Verse 22 and verse 23. And so woe to the men mighty at drinking wine. Woe to the men valiant or mixing and intoxicating drink. And he's really talking about false preachers. Men who were stupefied to distort the scriptures, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away justice from the righteous man. They don't teach people how to live right by the cross of Christ Jesus, which is justice for a righteous man. That your sins are forgiven, and so now you live uprightly by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you open briefly, or you listen, into Colossians 4. This is something that's been on my mind lately, and I want to talk about it briefly. Just to do some teaching. Verse number 22. Here is what's right. Here is justice for a righteous man that's been liberated by the cross of Christ. It's the word bondservants or slaves. Obey in all things your masters according unto the flesh. It was really what... you and Pastor, our sister Hottie, were talking about earlier in the pastor's office about people using sneaky motives. Hi, how you doing? And how's family? In order to get at what they truly want. And so when they smile at you, it's all feigned. It's not real. It's not from the heart. Not with eye service as men pleasers. Also, yes, boss. How's your day, boss? Oh, I just love you, boss. And then once you turn his head, I hate that man. That ogre, mean master. He doesn't love God, and he shows it by his character towards his boss. And he's not being taught properly. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. It's not the ogre. It's not the master on earth. I serve my boss, if I have one, with a good attitude because I fear God. That's why you see some places it's such bad service. It's because the person that's doing the service is they only have their eye on the Nigerian economy instead of the boss that's in heaven. And that's why they don't serve you properly. Because they're not serving God. And they're not being taught by their pastors how to serve God in their employment. They're just hearing about miracle money. And so their attitude is atrocious. And they've been held back for what is truly righteous and just. It's no preaching of the cross. It's no preaching of a holy life.
And whatever you do, verse 23, do it heartily. It has to be from the heart or it's no good. If I don't love you from the heart, I don't love you at all. Even if I smile, even if I gave my body unto be burned, if it's not from the heart, it's not accepted by God. And you're doing it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. You're serving our Lord Jesus Christ. Plus, you're knowing that from the Lord, you will receive a reward of the inheritance. Peace with God, power over sin, a holy nature that can enjoy Him. This has nothing to do with getting paid more money at your job. He may see fit to promote you. And by doing it heartily, that is how you get promoted by God. But you might end up like our brother Joseph. And you can serve in Egypt, and then the woman under the king can end up in prison. And then you can serve in prison. And the old butler, he forgets you, but eventually you're going to meet with God in glory and His peace. And you're going to have peace in your heart all the while that you're serving God, even in the most meaningless labor. You understand? Even if me and you were slaves, this verse was still applied. Now, if a person came to take me as a slave, I have every right to tie him and put him to death. But if I'm a slave rightfully, love and obey my master, even if he's hard and cruel and unjust, because I have a master in heaven, I'm truly serving. And it's from the heart, and so it's cheerful. It's with peace on the inside. And the reward is from God. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he's done. You won't have God's peace, and you might get fired. And there is no partiality. I don't care if you are Christian or not. You don't do well at your job. You might get fired. And then masters, chapter 4, verse 1, give your bondservants, your slaves, as to what's right, as to what is just, as what is fair. Don't oppress him, Oga. Don't treat him like a boy when he's a man. Don't dishonor him and disgrace him. Don't just abuse him because you have power. Knowing that you also have a master in heaven. And so every time you can do with your servant, you got your eye on God as his servant. And you're really asking him, how can I help him? Yes, master. It's the master as a master. And he's being mastered even as he's mastering his servant. That's what's good and right. That's what we need from pulpits. It would change Nigeria if we did what's just and what's right in the sight of God. Let's go back into Isaiah 5, and I'm going to wrap up. I appreciate your patience. I'm a little bit long. But not much. Verse number 24, and I'll stop here. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble, and the flame consumes the chaff, so their root, since they're so unrighteous in their ways, will be as rottenness. And their blossom, it will ascend like dust. They're not going to have any harvest except dust. And here's why. It's not because God is unjust or unrighteous or he's blind or the Muslims are in charge. It's because they have rejected the law, the ways of the Lord host, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. And so here's my last thing. It's repentance. The Almighty God is saying, these people are doing this wrong. And so these are the consequences that are going to come upon them. And they're unstoppable. It's the people were doing wrong and saying, I challenge you. I dare you. I double dog dare you to bring these consequences. I'm going to keep doing my same old sin. And the Almighty God is saying, woe to you. It's coming. If there is no repentance, his wrath is coming. And Nigeria may succeed. I think America right now is a greater country to me than in 1960. Because in 1960, I couldn't vote. And they used to call my granddaddy boy. So even with the homosexuality, I prefer it right now. But America and Europe are turning post-Christian. It's already, if you go to Europe, it's already post-Christian. It has left its root behind. But those people are prospering. Speed train, you can go to China. They don't even think about God. They are building up their economy. That might happen in Nigeria, but everyone perishes. It's hell for everybody. There's no salvation in that. He's saying, even if your body prospers, even if your church grows, even if you get money, even if you keep your job, even if people praise you, this day of woe is coming. Now, for the believer, the true child of God, he's chastened. He's hard-headed, and he won't repent. And so God brings the trouble upon him, and he breaks him down into his knees, and then he brings him out all of a sudden by the gospel, and he sets him free. Israel had to go into Babylon because of their sin, and then he brought him out after he chased him. But not everybody made it out. It was many that went into Babylon for their doom and their destruction. And so what I'm saying is if you repent now, these hard things don't have to come upon you. And to repent means to walk by faith in Jesus Christ. Put your trust in him for all righteousness, all salvation, all sanctification. Trust his Holy Spirit to make you able to live according to God's will. The Holy Spirit of God is not going to come to give us peace in our sin. He'll only give us peace in repentance and in doing the will of God from the heart. So if I haven't been serving my master, let me serve. If I've been cruel unto my servant, let me repent now. If I haven't been preaching the cross, I haven't been thinking about the cross, I haven't been meditating upon the cross, I haven't been praying to God through the cross, I haven't been about the cross, if I've been living to serve myself, let me repent now. It'll be well. But oh, repent. The trouble's coming. If there's no repentance, he says, woe to you. He says, won't. Let's close in prayer. Is there anyone of you men that would like to close us in prayer, please?
Lord, we pray that I've listened unto your word. We humble ourselves before your throne and before your cross, that you will help us to stand and to follow you even in this world, in the mighty name of Jesus. Commit ourselves unto you. Commit my avenues to speak to us. And we pray, O God, that you help us to run this race with the focus of heaven, even as we minister to people, that we may maybe see the focus and direct people even unto you, that they may know the true gospel.
Amen.
This is our desire and our prayer. According to your word, I have released unto us, we pray, you help us in the name of Jesus, that our labor here will not just be in vain, that it may be for the kingdom and the expansion of your kingdom here on earth. Lord, we pray, you will enable us and give us that grace and that strength in the name of Jesus. Commit man you have used unto us. Pray for more anointing. Pray for more grace and power. Lord, even as we continue in this race, we will end well in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And at the end, your name will be glorified.
Amen.
Thank you, righteous God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.